you would, you can turn to a verse, familiar passage of Scripture. We'll be reading in the 10th chapter of Mark. This is the account that we all know so well about blind Bartimaeus. We read this week, and like we said, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but we've seen something that was very different than what the Lord had told others that He had touched, and that He had healed. We're going to read that, and if the Lord would bless, that we might expound on that which He's shown us. It says, "And they came to Jericho," in the 46th verse, "and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, a blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, and sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Now listen, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way." We was reading that this week, and it just stood out, "Go thy way." We live in a day today that many people are seeking to do that very thing, to go thy way. We're thankful that all the visitors we have. We're thankful that our sisters here, all the children, and the other visitors that's came. I know that a lot of times that it's a lot of work, isn't it? Sometimes to get children and to bring them that don't normally come to church. But I'm thankful that seeds are being sown. And we're trusting that the Lord will work His work. But we find a blind man, a man no doubt that was blind from his birth, and sitting, and he made his living begging. I see him there sitting along the way. This was a man that was blind. And I've been told that whether you lose your hearing or whether you lose your sight, that all your other senses seem to get a little bit better. There's been people even that were hard of hearing, but yet when they lost their sight, that because of their mind and not having the sense of sight, that they were that even their hearing has been proven to increase. The very smallest things that they once ignored, they hear now. Why? Because they're looking for some clue. Well, this was a man, I believe, that was a good listener because he was blind. We seen a couple just yesterday. We had got her hair cut in town. And I seen a woman, we pulled up to the stop sign, and there was a car in front of us. And I sit there a while, and it was busy in town. But I was sitting there, and I thought to myself, because I wasn't really looking at the traffic very close, but just waiting for them to move. And I seen there for a second, they kept on the couple, the woman driving, and the man in the passenger seat kept on looking at each other. I was kind of getting a little annoyed. And I thought maybe if she quit looking at him I would look at the traffic, she could pull out there at least in the middle lane. But I began to see him tap her on the shoulder. And he began to move his hands. And I realized that this was a woman that was deaf. And each and every time in the way,
his hands, my wife kind of figured he were yelling at her. But you know what? When you take a deaf person and you're trying to tell them how to drive, they've got to get their eyes off the traffic and look at their partner. Well, listen, we had a man here and he was blind. But when he heard about Jesus, he began to cry out. For he couldn't see him. Or no doubt, sir, I didn't see no one. He lived his life in darkness. But when he heard the words, he began to cry. He didn't cry as some would whisper, but he raised his voice so that the Lord heard him over all the crowd. And he said, bring him unto me. And it was here. He says, call him. But if you look over in Luke, he says, bring him. And once again, the man was glad. As he'd been before in the dark, to meet what he'd heard so much about. And when he come to him, a blind man, said he left his coat. I don't imagine he had very many possessions in life, for he was a beggar. But the Bible said he got up and he left what little he had. And he rejoiced because Jesus Christ, the Son of David, heard his cry. And he was brought to him. And I find it interesting that what we have here is Jesus asking him, oh, what would you have me do? A blind man, mind you, that was a beggar, that was led of others under the feet of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? We have a lot of people today that are spiritually blinded, that have heard so much about my Jesus, so that it's just as it were an instinct when they come close to him that they cry out. But he still would have the question that he asked to you, what wilt thou have me to do? We find the blind man said, restore my sight. I couldn't help, as we was reading that this week, about the many cripples that the Lord had healed. These were people as well that were afflicted with a physical disability. We know of one that he was carried about anywhere that he needed to go. One that was needy, a blind man that was led, and then a cripple that was carried. But the Lord told the cripple when he healed him, he said, pick up your bed and follow me. But what did the Lord say to the blind man? He said, now listen, he said, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Go thy way. But I like if we finish the verse. It tells us what old Bartimaeus done. It said, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now listen, Jesus told him, go thy way. But we find that because Jesus exposed the blind Bartimaeus and he received his sight, that we find that Jesus' way came Bartimaeus' way. We find him there. That when the Lord told him, go thy way, he followed Christ Jesus all the same. And that's what the Lord would have every one of us to do. Whether we're born again, or whether we've not accepted Christ as our Savior, he's telling us today, go thy way. But he would have you follow him. His desire is that his way might become your own. If you was to read on, we find that they come nigh to Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ, once again, as it said here, blind Bartimaeus was told to go his own way, but yet he followed Jesus in the way. And then Jesus goes on to tell two of his disciples, go your way to the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find colt tied, whereupon every man sat, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why you do this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door without, and a place where two ways men, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing that colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. Here in just a few verses, in the 10th and the 11th chapter, I failed to count how many times the way is mentioned. We have thy way. We have, as it were, your way. We have the straight way, it says. And then we have where two ways meet. And then we find where they're casting their clothes and their branches and strolling them in the way. And today we live in a culture where there's many ways. But if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to find that straight way. How shall we find it? Well, we find it as the blind man found it. But this was a man. Now just think about it. Had he received his sight and he did, and decided, I better go home. I've been sitting along the road now all day and I'm dirty. But listen, this is a man. Didn't know which way home was. He'd been led to where it was at. It would do us good, church, if we realized what kind of a shape we were in before the Lord passed by, and that we are needy of Him, that our way had better be His way, because though He has given us sight, we don't know which way home is unless we follow the one. What we find by Bartimaeus, he said he left his coat. He wasn't concerned about what he had, but he wanted to find and meet that one, maybe get a hold of him, as blind people do. Have you seen someone that's blind? They sometimes want to touch the face of someone so that they might be able to get a picture in their mind. Well, I don't know. I do know what the Bible says, don't it? But we know what he come to Jesus for. He weren't to touch his face, but it was to see his face. For Jesus said, what would thou have me to do? And he said that I might receive my sight, so that I might see this Son of David. But guess what? What he found was when his scales were lifted off his eyes, he seen more than the Son of Man. He seen the Son of God, and he followed him. We find where two disciples are told to go their way, but they had a mission. They had a purpose, and they had a work. And we find that just as the Lord had said, they found that coat, the Bible says, where no man ever rode. We know that it was the coat of an ass. And you know, today I thought thought about that. Oh, the two disciples come and they found a means of travel. And they come and they found, as it were, a coat there. In a way where, in a place where two ways met. And they had the choice at that point in time. To take that which the Lord had provided, I guess, and get on it and go one of the two ways. What did they do? They done as the Lord had commanded. And they got on the colt and they rode him back to Jesus. No. They led that colt back to the Lord. Because this was a colt that never a man had ever rode. He wasn't broke. But when they led him to the Son of God, and the Lord looked upon that colt, how don't you imagine? The colt knew who he stood before. Just a colt of an ass. Not some powerful steed that would ride in victorious as a conqueror, but as one that is meek and lowly, for he surely was. We find those today that have done as the Lord has asked, and there they stand, and they seek the glory of this world, but he would have them return leading the coat of an ass. Yet they look for grandeur. They want to ride in on the horse. But what did the Lord have them to do? To lead and follow. It's cold. Just a small beast. There's no glory in that. We see where there was those that was crying out, Hosanna unto Jesus Christ. And they were throwing their garments and their in the palm branches, as it were, in front of him. You know, it said, in the way, we find that Bartimaeus followed after Jesus, though he was told to go thy way. We find that he immediately, as the Bible said, he followed him, it says, and straight and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know, Jesus was in that way. The Bible says Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
And the life. Well, now listen, think about that. The truth. We have a culture today that so many people say this is true and that's true and that might be true. And this might be true. And this one's telling the truth, and that one's telling the truth. But he wasn't simply telling something that was true. But he was that truth. He's the author of everything that's ever been true. And he is that way. Oh, I'm afraid so many people have been told that same thing. Go thy way, and they follow not yet Jesus Christ. They didn't see, as Bartimaeus, that they could not go home without following Jesus. And they went their way to be lost. Have you ever seen people where you would try to direct them or tell them, and they just would not listen? We find this one here that had went in, these two disciples that had done as the Lord would have them to, and they found that colt, and out of obedience, and they got the colt. And there was those that said, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing with that colt? I don't know if it was a trouble, if it was just us a young that had never been tried to be broke, or if this was a problem colt that maybe some had tried in the past maybe to ride him, but it said never a man had. Maybe he was one that was of ill nature and bit and kicked, I don't know. But when they said what the Lord had told them to, they let him go. And that colt came. You know, I was thinking last night that colt, that's the way I was, you know, when I was in sin, that
It seemed as if I was as a colt that could not be ridden. That I'm thankful just as that colt looked in the face of Jesus. I myself, when I first heard that message, it truly spoke to my heart. I was raised in church, and I heard I don't know how many messages, but there come a point when I heard that first one that went to the marrow of my bone, and I realized that who I was hearing from wasn't the preacher behind the pulpit, but it was the Son of God. And He come and He placed that message at my heart's door, and He said, "Daryl, you can go your way, but listen, our way, if it ain't the Lord's way, it's a hard way. There's been a many a child raised in church, and that's what they say. My first opportunity, I'm going to go my own way. As the Lord provided means for those two disciples, they came up on that coat. It weren't in their heart, but had it been, had it been Judas, I guess that could have been his time to flee, but it were not so. I'm afraid today that the presence of God has placed us there in the way. We have a choice. Do we get on the horse that God's provided and ride away when He has asked us to be a servant and to lead the way? Listen, there's so many say, as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to sit on that horse and go my own way. But I want to tell you, it's a jackass that ain't never been ridden. It's heartache. You can try, but you'll never make it home of it. Oh, but you will. Because the Bible teaches me, if you don't walk in the way of Jesus Christ, your home will be with the devil. So yes, there's been a many an ass that's been rode to hell. But I pray that you might not go your way. But that the way of Jesus Christ might become your own. That it might be familiar to you. Yes, there's branches in the way. Yes, there is obstacles, as we would see them. But from on top of that little coat of an ass, Jesus sees it as if it were a red carpet. And He's made the way. And all we've got to do is be humble enough to follow a meek and a lowly Savior. Sitting up on, not a glorious specimen. You know, I was thinking about it. Maybe when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords got on that little coal that never been broke or rolled, if there were ever a five-gated jackass, no doubt that would have been as he trotted into town with the Creator of the universe on his back. But the Bible tells me that the Lord was meek and lowly. He didn't need no five-gated horse to declare His triumphal return. But the Bible says there is coming a day, and my Lord won't be on some meek and lowly coat, but He'll be on a white horse, and He'll ride victorious once again into Jerusalem. And if you ain't ready to meet Him,
bless you, Lord,
you'll wish that where you found yourself so long ago were two ways met. I want you to follow Christ. Oh, have you seen some? I used to work in sales, and y'all knew what a sale, and I went around and I were officially a bred cattle. And there was one man in particular, and this he was in Texas County down yonder, and
He was a customer of mine, and our company had trained him to do just as I had done. But yet he went to Kansas and to some artificial insemination, coercion. He got him a big old thick book. And I come and he talked to me and he mentioned some things that with the science advancements and animal hormones and all what you could do, some of the things that were so new that I hadn't even heard them myself. And you know, after about visiting him, that was I went through a place once every 2 months, and the next time I gone through there, that man knew so much that you couldn't hardly talk to the fella. He had become an expert in such a short time. Then shortly after that, I found out that he was having trouble getting his cows bred. But yet a man you couldn't talk to because he'd read every kind of thing in a book somewhere. And I tried to help him, and I realized there was no helping that man because in his mind, I knew less than he did. Listen, that's where a lot of the world is today. They think they know more than God. Though He has touched him, there's not a one that's ever been born that the Lord hasn't touched. He has taught our flesh. Listen, you don't even have to think about it, do you? To breathe. And He was the one. They say the old doctor, when he smacks a baby on the backside, and sometimes they have to, I'm told, because the baby ain't breathing. Listen, you can beat a baby till it's blue on the bottom. Who causes him to take that first breath? It's God. Right. And from there on out, you owe it to Him. And I say thank you. Forgive me, life. But yet we see so many that look up and think they know more than God. No more than the hillbilly preacher. No more than their daddy. No more than this one or that one. And they go their way. But we need to be like old Bartimaeus. And when the Lord would tell us how to go our way, that we would follow Him and say, I'm going to follow the one that gave me sight. Everything else is not important. I'm not even interested in seeing the house I once lived in. No, I've lived there 20 years and never seen the walls of it. I've seen the face of God. I'll follow Him to Jerusalem. I'll follow my God. Don't you imagine? Bartimaeus weren't looking for a ride on that little donkey. But he was content. Run in the way with Jesus Christ. And run alongside of Him. Although he felt a shadow on his face many a time when he was blind, when he looked up in the face of Christ, in his shadow, he could see Him with his eyes. And I still know how he could see. Don't you imagine when he wanted to touch Him? For that's the way the blind are. I imagine that he'd done more than stand from a distance. But he wanted to get as close as he could. I wonder if that cult was a little raunchy. And if that's why it'd never been rode by man before. But when the elders seen the disciples leading it away, he himself thought, I'm going to go watch. Is it going to be a good one? Because never a man ever rode that cold. And he stood by as he seen the King of Kings tame a wild beast. Glory to God. And my God still taming wild beasts. And just shake his head amazement as a Savior of the world set upon that which no man could. And the old blind man ran circles around him and he never rose and raised a foot. That's what my God can do. And all He would ask us to do is to go our way, and that His way might become ours.
and be obedient and grab the reins of that which is untamable and bring it to Christ, and He'll ride it and break it. There are some here today that no doubt in their past and even in their future as the world will look upon or as untamable as any stallion's ever been. But I'm thankful my God can break you and can make you into what you need to be. Glory to God, He's better than any wrangler's ever been on this earth. Listen to me as we get some song to sing. Or a song to play, it don't matter. I want to tell you today, if you're in your way, but your way ain't His way, listen to me. All you got to do is do as old Bartimaeus done. Night's coming. You think you can see the walls of this world will pray in you in the dark. But Jesus Christ, He's there. He is that light. And He will offer you life and life more abundantly if you would just do as Bartimaeus and say, Lord, Thou Son of David, listen, He's more than the Son of David. He's the Son of God, the Most High, the Creator of the universe. And He's got the answers to the problems of this world. If we would just raise from our feet and go His way, all the world would like to leave the verse off, wouldn't it? Go thy way. You know, I'm afraid some people have heard the gospel message, and unfortunately, all they've ever heard is come to the Lord and go thy way. But His way has been mapped out through the Bible. We need not worry about being in the dark, for He has provided us with a light. As the 23rd Psalm says, Have you picked up that lantern? You know, a flashlight will do you some good. And your hand. We've been having a possum get down in the barn and get into the cat food. And I've been going down there at night. I come in work late and I've been going down there. And you know, one night, there I was and I seen the possum run off. And I thought, I just need to shine my light on him. But my light was on the hutch in the house. That possum's alive to eat another meal of cat food, I guess. The Lord's made the way. Have you picked up the light? Have you looked, as it were, in the mirror of God's Word? I've seen in museums and whatnot, they'll have a lantern. And there was an Aladdin lantern that was made, and it had a mirror in behind it, so that you could direct the light. I'm thankful that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. And at any time we need to, we can hold it up. And it'll be a mirror to our face. And it will reveal what we've got in a moment. Some of us don't want to look, do we? We don't want to look. We went to Arkansas and we had a picture made. We forgot the camera and I got a disposable one. And that disposable camera didn't leave my hands. I took all the pictures and I ain't in none of them. But when we went to this one place, they were taking pictures. And you know, I look at my parents and, you know, I look at them every day. And they don't look old to me, but sometimes when you take a picture and you're removed from it, you say, my, you know, age is creeping up on them. So if I stay out of them pictures, I don't have to look, do I? Kind of like avoiding a mirror. But there was one picture in particular that these people were taking pictures, and they said, oh, you don't have to buy them or nothing.
And I was in that picture, we was as a group. And I seen a fella in there standing next to my wife. They looked a lot older than the man she's married to. And he was dressed, what was so funny, he was dressed in the identical clothes I was wearing. And I realized, which I knew it right off the bat, that Darrell was looking old. Darrell could deny it. Darrell could even be thankful that his eyesight's failing so he wouldn't have to see just how old he's getting. But you know, there's something about a mirror that sometimes we just can't do without. I've got chips in my eyes before. Not stuck into them, just floating around in them. And I'll run to the bathroom and I'll look in that mirror. And maybe I'm not old enough yet, but I've never looked in that mirror when I got an emergency going on. But I said up to myself, Darrell, you sure are getting old. Because I'm intent on finding that thing that's scratching my eye so severely. You know, that's what we need to do with God's Word. We don't need to look at it detached from it, as sometimes we do when we say, oh my, Darrell, you're getting old. But we need to look into that mirror so intently in order to find of those things that are irritating us or are causing us to not have the full victory that we can have in the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I want to be so close to the Lord that I feel the switching of the colt's tail. And if we do that, we need not worry about being left behind. About what's going on at home, because our home will be in the presence of the Lord.